Before we prepare for meditation, I'd like to introduce our speaker today, our very own Reverend James Rodney Watson. Reverend James is celebrating his 17th year of ordained ministry and has been a member of Unity of Washington, D.C. since 2003. He is an active member of the Unity Choir, ministerial support, lay leaders, worship leader, co-chair of the usher and greeting ministry, and was recently elected vice president of the Board of Trustees. Prior to ordained ministry, Reverend James served from 1984 to 1995 on active duty in the United States Air Force as a contract specialist administrator at locations around the world. After the Air Force, Reverend James worked at Fannie Mae in Washington, D.C. Currently, he is a contracting officer at the Defense Intelligence Agency at Joint Base Anacostia-Bowling. Reverend James is a member of the D.C. branch of the NAACP, where he serves as the chapter chaplain. He is an active and supportive member of the 100 Black Men of Greater Washington, D.C., providing mentorship and academic leadership to high school age African American young men of the Greater Washington, D.C. region. Reverend James is currently pursuing a master's in theological studies at Wesley Theological Seminary. Please join me in welcoming Reverend James.
Good morning. Good morning. Everyone just seems so peaceful, so restful. But before I begin, I just want to, as a people of God, as truth students, we know our spirit surpasses our humanity. And with that said, we just want to send our love and our light to the McCain family. No matter your affiliation, no matter your party, he was a servant of what he said and set out to do. So to God be the glory. Godspeed, Senator John Sylvester McCain. Sidney McCain. Amen. Little shot of humor, always to jumpstart this party. The story goes that St. Peter came across a group of men in heaven, and he figured he'd have a little fun with them. You know, St. Peter was always clowning folks. So he said to these men, "If you were head of your household while on earth, stand over here. But if you were not head of your household, stand over here." Overwhelmingly, all of the men except one went over here that said they were not head of their household. Only one went to this side that said he was head of his household. So St. Peter admonished the group that went to the side that said they weren't head of the household and said, "You didn't follow the word. The word was very clear. You are supposed to be head of the household." So then he went to the individual who stood by himself and he said, "Well, what's your secret? What did you do different that they didn't do?" Well, the man just kind of looked at him, looked at the men looking at him, and he said very quietly, "My wife convinced me that I was." Oh, you notice that's the wives clapping, right? The husbands are like, "Shh, dude, come on, work with me here." So let's talk about prayer. And Miss Leah, you're correct. The Spirit moved through your music and touched this message. We are in sync today, and we didn't even talk. God be the glory. Webster defines prayer as a solemn request, an earnest hope, a wish. Now, growing up, we were taught how to pray, and that if you wanted something from God, you had to pray. pray for it. I remember praying for specific things, toys and things for my birthday or for Christmas, or for that big snowstorm to hit the night before so we would have to go to school. One time, I remember praying that my parents wouldn't kill me and my brothers for breaking our mom's four-foot floor vase because we were playing basketball inside the house. Let's just say that prayer did not end up as we had hoped. Every time I see a vase like that, it just shudders. But see, that's key. What does it mean when a prayer doesn't turn out as you wished or hoped for? What then? I admit, when we learned about prayer, it was about the act thereof. However, little was taught, at least I don't recall, how to handle when the prayer didn't work. A flood of questions follows. Well, I prayed like you said, yet it didn't happen. Growing up very Roman Catholic, we went to CCD every day. It seems on twice on Saturdays. And we were taught that when we prayed, you prayed with a contrite spirit. A what? I'm in the fifth grade. What is contrite? All I know is I want something. You said go to God and ask for it. All I know is I prayed for a 10-speed bike, but I got a Lincoln log set instead. What? I wasn't contrite enough? Did I miss something? You said to ask God for what I wanted, and he was going to give it to me, right? Now, I know we've all been there. We've had a moment or two where we prayed, and it didn't happen the way we wanted it to. And what was the reaction? Did we give up? Perhaps you repeated the prayer thinking that would get God's attention. God, hello. I prayed like you asked me to. But maybe you were busy over there. So let me pray this prayer again, and maybe you'll hear it this time. Now, we might not say those exact words, but our actions that follow speaks volumes to how we feel. Possibly you doubted that the prayer would even work. That dream you desired might be too much right now, so let me start smaller. You prayed for that new job, yet at the same time felt there was a better candidate than you. Or time was running out. Let me get this prayer in real quick and God will respond. Or if it doesn't happen, I'm going to lose out. It didn't work because it wasn't my turn. I'm willing to wager there was a time you prayed for a dream to come true only to talk yourself out of that dream. It didn't work last time, so what makes it different this time? You prayed for that right and perfect relationship, yet placed your standards on what type of man or woman you'd be willing to put up with. Then there's a prayer out of your sense of lack. Now, I know God, it's me again. I don't have the degree, I don't have the certificate, I don't have the license, I don't have the experience, I don't have a car, I don't have what's necessary. But if you would only just do this for me. Now see, all of this and so much more is stirred up and through our humanness. But you know what? It's okay. It's okay that we've had our times and we'll have times when it comes to be a struggle to pray. When we're challenged with the world around us, the overwhelming amount of concern, the events that unfold each and every day, be honest. It can influence and make it difficult at times to pray. When we get so wrapped around the axle about life, and you know that means you are so warped out of sorts about the actions or reactions, the emotions and your feelings that you miss the fundamental reason why you started to play in the first place. And your prayer is then carved out of this hardened exterior, creating a struggle for prayer. And trust, You were not the first to struggle with prayer, and you will not be the last to struggle with prayer. I'm reminded of a certain teacher, a way shower, an elder brother, his name being Jesus. On that fateful night in the Garden of Gethsemane, there was agony in his prayer. Luke 22, chapter 22, verse 42. Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Agony. Concerned about all that was happening around him. Just take this cup away from me. They're not listening. They're not getting it. Take this cup away from me. It's too painful to know what they're about to do to me. Take this cup away from me. But still, not my will. Your will be done. For a moment, I imagine Jesus was moved emotionally by the events unfolding and what was about to come. Other translations indicate, let thy will be done. Those five words change the trajectory of humanity. Those five words gave Jesus the strength in and through his prayer to face what was about to happen. And these same five words, let thy will be done, can also strengthen you when you find yourself struggling, even to the point of concern about praying in today's world. You see, we don't have to agonize, grapple, or think our prayers are for naught, that they're falling on deaf ear. So then why do we still struggle with prayer? First of all, prayer is not to get us out of struggle. Let me repeat that so you can understand that. Prayer is not to get us out of struggle. You see, we often juxtapose our prayer according to circumstances, feelings, emotions, or perhaps project outwardly because of others in our lives. We pray because of other people. Our prayers can be driven by the vicissitudes of life. We want to be different. We want something different. We pray from the distillery of illusion that we can improve upon the life that we live out here. Be that as it may, prayer is not a temporary band-aid to fix life. Prayer is not a brushstroke on a canvas of chaos, hoping it'll change the picture. Prayer is not to remove people from our lives. We've been there. You laugh now. But think back how many times. God, if you just take him away from me. Ooh, if you just take that child right now, I'm gonna have to kill him. It's not about the other person. And prayer is not a pacifier to smooth over for the moment guilt, bad feelings, or emotional upheaval. Prayer is to transform you. That's what prayer is. Prayer is to transform you. Prayer is to transform you to where you're supposed to be. And I'm not talking in the physical, but I'm talking in your consciousness. But wait a minute. If I'm sick, and I pray to get well, am I not praying to get out of that sickness? Don't we go to the hospital and we, at the hospital, the bedside of a loved one, and we start praying that they get well, that they're healed? You're simply praying to be well. You're not praying to get out of the sickness. You're simply praying to be well, however that shows up. Bottom line, sickness with other issues and concerns stem from the state of lower consciousness. Your prayer is to elevate you to higher consciousness. Psalm 5 and 3. Each morning, I bring my request with expectancy. The Mighty Clouds of Joy had a hit song. Got your attention, didn't it? And it actually made the club circuit. And it was entitled Mighty High. I know it's running through your head right now. Those of you old enough to remember it. I'm looking at some of us who are old enough to remember it. And a part of the lyrics went, take a load off your mind. Ride the mighty glory. Listen to this story. Ride the mighty high. You can't say it. You got to sing it. That's praying in the flow of expectancy. There's nothing else on your mind when you're praying in expectancy. You are soaring in the flow of God's glory and grace. Last time I checked, you can't soar in lower consciousness. Your prayer is in harmony with the expectancy of the goodness that's about to be realized or manifested in and through your life. The expectancy of your prayer is that of God's will for you. Let thy will be done. There's no room for LCS. That is lower consciousness shenanigans. Just the expectancy of a higher consciousness. And it all starts with your prayer. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, fear not, Daniel, he continued, from the first day you made up your mind to acquire understanding and humble yourself before God, your prayer was heard instantly. The moment you speak your prayer, God hears you. There's no delay, no dial-up, no misconnections, no operating, making of connections. With this connection, there is no room for outer influence or emotional intrusion. So that's why we pray. So it's done. We're finished. We pray with expectancy. God's going to go to work, right? God goes to work and our prayer is answered. All I got to do is sit back and wait. We can just sit back, kick up our heels, have a Coke and a smile, chill, and watch God work, right? I prayed at noon. It's now 5 after noon. The prayer hasn't been answered yet. God's taking God's time. I need it now. I have a good friend, a gifted biblical scholar and spiritual individual who was instrumental in my early years of ordained ministry. One day we were preparing to officiate a homegoing service. And in preparing his eulogy, he titled it, It's the Dash. Basically, he preached that we get caught up in the birth date, sunrise, and the day the individual passed, sunset, that we overlook the life between the two dates, the dash. What was the quality of life they lived? How did they live? Well, what about the dash between praying and receiving the answer to that prayer? How do you handle that? What is the quality of life in the meantime, the dash? Do we pray with expectancy? Do we ride the mighty high, basking in the glory and grace of God's will at work? In Luke, the word states, keep praying until the answer comes. By doing this, you are not only praying through, you are raising your consciousness. So I say, keep praying until it becomes your praise. Oh, and another thing about that night in the garden. As soon as Jesus spoke those words, let thy will be done, the word was clear. Angels of the Lord stood at his side. See, when your prayer becomes your praise, and your faith and your belief is in that praise, help is on the way. You will gain the courage, the tenacity needed to stay focused on the answer to your prayer, even in the midst of your storm, even in the midst of the chaos, even in the midst of the world around you. You will stay focused because your help is with you. You are no longer tethered by the outer world or an emotional situation while in your prayer. Once you speak that prayer through truth, the will of God is at work. You release and find yourself at peace. And although you may have not received, realized, or manifested that prayer just yet, the word is clear. Count those blessings, that dream, that desire, as if it were, though it is not. I'm thinking of my grandfather. He made his transition at the age of 99 back in March. For some 80 years, he was a prolific farmer. As he began to build a farm of his family, he continued to hone his craft as a farmer. He had a simple prayer each year that he would be able to take care of his growing family. Early in the spring, he would till the soil and by hand plant each and every seed of multiple vegetables, cabbage, kale, collard greens, string beans, tomatoes, potatoes, squash, getting hungry, and corn. Over the growing season, he would nurture the soil, watering by hand every time the rows and rows of growing produce. He didn't use state-of-the-art watering system or irrigation system or even a garden hose. He would fill 13-gallon buckets of water and, using a little red wagon, haul that water to the fields and water each row. He did this daily. He kept the process simple because it was from his heart and his spirit as he worked to fulfill his dream of taking care of his family. He would do this until the growing season yield the vegetables from the seeds that he initially planted. At harvest time, he was able to provide more than enough vegetables and produce, not just for his family, but his neighbors and the extended family all around the county. He was able to nurture and fulfill a marriage of 75 years with my grandmother, raise 11 children, bear witness to a host of children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren. He achieved his dream and so much more because of his prayer of wanting to take care of his family because of his faith. From prayer to answer, my grandfather had faith and a strong belief through his regular praise of God that he would be able to take care of his family. Planting those seeds, that was his initial prayer. The nurturing, watering of the field, caring for the crop as it matured, that was his daily praise. No matter the circumstance that came up, lack of rain, harsh conditions, his own health, my grandfather persevered in his praise that his garden would yield exactly that which he planted, which he prayed for. His expectancy, his faith, and praise for a bountiful harvest was in alignment with God's will and plan for his life. You know, they say there's a blessing with your name on it. This alignment, or being in the affluence of the divine plan, was a confirmation that his prayer was to be rewarded just as he desired. The other day, I ordered something from Amazon. After reviewing the order, I hit place your order. Instantly, I received a confirmation that my order had been received and it would be fulfilled according to the plan of what I had ordered. Prayer shares in this likeness, in this energy. Now, I'm not liking prayer to like placing an order. Don't think that you're placing order when you're praying. You're having a conversation with God. However, you are putting forth prayer, in your prayer, a desire, a plan for your life. Amen? Amen. Like my grandfather, when you nurture that prayer through faith and belief, you cultivate from within a confidence that all is well, even before the prayer is answered. When you immerse your prayer in the abundant flow of living waters, no matter the circumstances around you, and you speak joy and light in and through the growing season, your prayer will manifest from within. You're praying for that new job, but until you get that job, you keep doing the job that you're in right now. And you do it with pride. You do it with courage. You do it with strength. And your neighbor will say, you know what? You deserve a promotion. Look at you. That's God's confirmation right there. You will come to realize what the word reveals. There is confirmation for your prayer. It can just come in passing. It can come on a billboard. It can come in a dream. It can come in your likeness. It can come from your children, come from your spouse. There's no rhyme or reason to the source, but the confirmation will come when your heart, mind, and soul is on one accord and is in the midst of God's will for you. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know well the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare, not for woe. Plans to give you a future full of hope. When you call me, when you go to pray to me, I will listen to you. That means before you even have that prayer, God has the answer ready for you. Before you even think about what you're looking for or want or seeking, God has already designed it with your name on it. God has placed it before you. God is saying, it's all yours. The word says, seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. No matter what it is you're searching for your highest good, God has already got it planned out for you. It may look a little bleak right now because you're looking out here. Close those eyes and open this eye and see the consciousness within, and you will match the higher consciousness where God resides. And your gift, your prayer, that which you seek is ready with your name on it already. But all you have to do is pray. God hears you. In the stillness of the night, God hears your prayer. Sitting in rush hour traffic, God hears your prayer. On the job, when you're in the midst of a situation, God hears your prayer. No matter the circumstance, no matter where you are on this planet, you pray out of the earnest and honesty of your heart and mind. God hears your prayer. To God be all the glory. All the glory in and through your prayers. Know that the will of God is ignited the moment you pray. Let your praise follow that prayer, that divine plan, which will elevate, accentuate, resonate, and vibrate, manifesting your highest good, your best self. You know, they say the best is yet to come. It is already here. We just have to receive it. So to God be all the glory. In and through your walk, your talk. Let your prayers be your dance and your days full of praise as the answer is here and it's on the way. And so it is. Ashe and ashe.